Janae, and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Week one that we just mentioned, finally, steadily approaching. Here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got some great ones coming up today. Simu Liu, hot star, the latest and great Marvel superstars, getting ready to join us as we preview the upcoming movie. Gabe Eichard, going to join us, former Oklahoma Sooner. Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst. Justin Tinsley, who's been working on a great project that you need to hear around here at ESPN. But Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, hanging out with us all week here on ESPN Radio. And Amber, apparently we didn't drive you away last week as I was sitting out in the hallway at Mohegan Sun. So glad to have you back.
I'm back, baby. No, the way that I saw you take down that Philly cheesesteak, drive me away. Are you kidding? I'm back for more.
She understands that this show does, in fact, serve lunch. And so that makes us very, very appealing to a lot of people. Now, Amber and I sitting around here, I said, and jokingly, apparently we've both made the 53-man roster because that is the point of the NFL season that we're at right now, Amber, a time of year I'm familiar all too well where the dream goes to die for many young NFL players. And so while we're waiting for a lot of the cut-down information that's going to come out over the next couple of days, we know some names that are still going to be around at these spots. We've assembled a lot of the quarterback battles and finally gotten some answers. Amber, is there any surprise in your mind that Bill Belichick seems to be one of the last remaining strongholds for holding out on naming a starter for week one?
Right, Bill Belichick not giving us information and not giving us clear answers. Shocking. I don't really know what to make of the Cam Newton, Mac Jones situation at this point after the three preseason games. I mean, Mac Jones played well, obviously. Cam Newton played well, too. I obviously had that weirdness with the COVID-19 protocol violations with Cam, and that cost him time with the ones, and then Mac Jones took advantage of that time. But overall, Cam also had, of course, some very notable moments in the preseason, including really outplaying Mac in game two of the preseason. So I don't really know what to do with that quarterback situation. Bill Belichick has told us numerous times throughout the preseason that Cam Newton is a starting quarterback. But then he has also said numerous times things that make it pretty clear that when Mac Jones is ready to play, that Mac Jones will play. And so then the question becomes, well, is that now? I mean, is it week one of the NFL season? I don't have much clarity here. And because of that, I'm going to stick with what I have thought the plan was in New England all along, which is Cam to Mac at some point in the regular season.
Yeah, at this point, Ty seems like it's going to the veteran in a lot of these cases, Amber. It's interesting to consider this quarterback situation versus what we've got going on in San Fran right now, because that would be the other one when we say we probably haven't seen 100% how it's going to shake out. But what do we see in preseason three for San Fran? Heavy doses of Trey Lance being shipped in there as a part of a running game that now included the quarterback option that we saw score them a touchdown in that game. We've heard Kyle Shanahan say, we might deploy him like that, we might not, but either way, we've heard he's going to see the field. Amber, it's a little different for Mac Jones in New England because he doesn't have a special skill that you can make use of within the confines of a two-quarterback offense here. Mac has got to be like Novocaine. I think it's the line from Remember the Titans. Got a little bit of it, you take it time to go into effect and essentially make him a death by a thousand cuts quarterback here. So I could see them very much going with what you've said at this point. Like, I believe a lot of these rookies should be getting out on the field sooner than later. I think Mac's shown enough to make you comfortable with starting that growth. But I also think at this point we see Bill Belichick does value some of that consistency that Cam can bring year to year.
Well, I'm a firm believer in going from vet to rookie rather than rookie to vet or trying to toggle them back and forth. If you are going to make that transition, you either make it at the beginning of the season so it's just rook and that's what we're doing, or you could make the transition at some point during the regular season from veteran to rookie. But doing it the opposite way, or starting the rookie and then deciding you made a mistake and then trying to go back to Cam, or then even trying to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, that's just not really the natural order of things in football. I do think the two situations are similar only in the regard that I think the vet starts at the beginning of the season. I think otherwise they're very different situations, because I think in San Francisco, you're going to see Trey Lance early and often, but like you said, with that special skill set. So I think it'll be Jimmy Garoppolo as your starter with Trey Lance packages. And you're not going to see in New England Cam Newton your starter with Mac Jones special packages. I think in the 49ers situation, we're going to see Jimmy, Trey Lance packages, more Trey Lance packages, more Trey, and finally no Jimmy at all. Whereas I think in New England, you're just going to see Cam, and then one day, Mac Jones, the starting quarterback, and they're not going to be toggled back and forth. I do actually see a scenario, though, in San Francisco where Shanahan could toggle those quarterbacks back and forth, like we saw in the third preseason game, but throughout the regular season.
Tweet us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at AmberW790, at Mike Golic Jr., and be a part of Shanahan Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Now, Amber, let's hear from Bart Scott, co-host of Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, because we got a lot of different factions that have shown up in this. And I want to get back to one thing you said about the way that these offenses can deploy their quarterbacks. But here was Bart Scott earlier on why this should be Cam's job. I will say first and foremost, this is a body positive show. We are not going to laugh at Mac Jones' tummy here because this is a show that appreciates a good tummy on this side. But I will say, Amber, also bringing up the notion that Mac Jones and soft tissue or injury should be any real concern in a world where Cam Newton is the other quarterback who has not been the total poster of health in his entire career seems like an interesting premise.
I have TB12 protein powder that I drink every day. How am I looking? Do I look the part yet?
Fantastic, as always, Amber.
That bite, what bothers me about that, and I've heard it on our air numerous times, and it's not just exclusive, of course, to anybody here at ESPN, but just generally speaking, everybody keeps making the Mac Jones-Tom Brady comparison. And I understand they're talking about aesthetics, but any comparison to the greatest to ever do it, I feel like is setting Mac Jones up for failure. Mac Jones, it doesn't matter if he looks anywhere similar to Tom Brady. Obviously, he's not Tom Brady. That's not what we need him to be here. What you need is to see enough from him to know that he's the future. The thing, though, is when you have a full, you heard Bart say it right there, you have a fully capable quarterback in Cam Newton who hasn't yet coughed up the job. He didn't do anything in the preseason. If you want to go back to last season and say he didn't do enough to maintain that starting role, fine. But that was a very different New England Patriots team than we're going to see this season with those guys with the opt-outs last season. And then, of course, the changes as well that they made in the offseason to beef up this team. This is going to be a much improved Patriots team. So it does feel like, why all of a sudden would you make the switch? Because as good as Mac Jones was in preseason, it wasn't like he also blew Cam Newton out of the water, because he didn't do that either. I think what he did is make you confident that he might have it. But again, you go from Cam to Mac. You can't make the mistake of going from Mac to Cam. And that's why, even though Bill Belichick gives us absolutely nothing, I still think that that's what we're looking at here.
I feel like this all reminds me. Taylor Swift wrote a song about this. It's called Mr. Perfectly Fine. Like, you got a bunch of, well, he didn't lose it, or he's done enough to be considered. Like, no one has gone above and beyond in this situation. When we talk about this again in a little bit, I'll give you the one way that I think the situation between Mac and Cam can be a lot more like the one we talked about in San Francisco than we're probably giving it credit for. But coming up next, you can always tweet the show, like I mentioned. You can call in 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, because we always appreciate feedback. Coming up next, we will get to someone in the world of sports who did not enjoy the feedback they've been getting from fans lately. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Remember, I forgot to ask you at the start of this show, do I look a little different today? Like, do I look more respectable now that I have become an NFL newsbreaker?
Oh, you do. You have a different swagger. First of all, you walked in here, you have six cell phones laying on the table, and you've been texting throughout the entire show.
One of my sources was getting to me right now here. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Amber Wilson, an NFL insider, Mike Golic Jr., joining you guys here.
Do you feel different?
Amber, you know what I do? I got a text from my good friend and peer, Jeff Passan, over on the MLB side of things, asking if I got any nuggets I want to throw his way. It's been a different life for me since I broke the deal about the new contract extension for Viking safety Harrison Smith over the weekend. The All-Pro signed a four-year, $64 million extension, including $26 million guaranteed. Amber, this is just what I do now. It's a part of my life.
It's just who you are now. Another weapon that you have in your cabinet ready to go. And you're taking over the sports media world slowly but surely. I did like that your tweet was very official because you cited sources. Do you want to let us know who your sources are?
Listen, Amber, being an insider is like being a magician. You never reveal your sources here. Matt Lack, do we have a question from the crowd here?
Yeah, this was brought up by our wonderful TV director, TV producer, Jerry. Jerry's wondering, does this mean what you dropped over the weekend was a Goge bomb?
Yes, I believe the technical name that the internet has settled on. I would never give myself or my tweets this nickname because I am a professional, but Goge Bomb seemed to be the one people were going with here. So shout out to the OG on that one, Adrian Wojnarowski, for lending me some of his likeness there.
This is just the beginning, I think, of many sources. Your cell phones are going to be ringing off the hook. Probably all throughout the show, you'll be breaking NFL news for us.
It is going to be special. We'll see if this is just a one-hit wonder for your boy here. So we'll get to more news breaking coming up in a little bit here as I leave that to the professionals. We will get to talk to Simu Liu, though, the star of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, the latest in the Marvel Cinematic Universe's franchise of awesomeness. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes here. Very excited to chat with him here. But first, before we get to things that bring us joy, we got to head to the pain train in the world of sports, aka the New York baseball Mets, because it's been a rough slide, and now it has been punctuated by some angst inside that locker room here. Javier Baez sounding off, or I should say showing off, after some displeasure with the fans here. We want to play you what he had to say in a little segment called Coming in Hot. So this past weekend, Javier Baez, Francisco Lindor, and Kevin Pillar all made the thumbs down gesture going on in the Mets win over the Nationals. They had been booed at home by some of New York's finest in the crowd, and they decided to fire back, saying that they were basically replying to the crowd. Here was Javier Baez when asked about this gesture during the last game. Coming in Hot's brought to you by Fidelity Investments, and boy, oh boy, Amber, we have reached the pinnacle of Metsdom. I thought that coming out of the All-Star break and having the kind of slide that they have had, falling further and further out of playoff contention would be enough. But now you got a war between the fans and players, and Steve Cohen and the Mets management very predictably stepped up on the side of Mets fans here, saying that he would be talking to the players about going up against the third rail here and going back after the paying customers. Is any part of this surprising to you, Amber?
Paying customers, I think, being key there because, yeah, that's the problem with going after the fans. And I can only imagine how frustrating it is as a player when your own fans are booing you. I don't boo my own home teams. I'm not a jerk. And I'm not saying you're a jerk if you boo your own team, although I'm saying you're exhibiting the behavior of a jerk. See, that's the workaround there, Mike.
That is true. I don't think you're a jerk or a dork, but you are displaying jerk and dork-like behavior.
Exactly. There you go. Then you're not actually calling names. So it's not something that I do, but I can imagine that if you're a player and you're hearing those boos from your own home crowd, it is incredibly frustrating. The problem is, in this equation, the fans are paying to be there, and you're being paid to be there. And that just does make it a different dynamic. That doesn't mean that fans can go out and do anything they want and that all behavior is acceptable by any means. But there is a reason that the customer is always right. There is a reason that old adage exists. And I don't know if you ever worked in any service jobs, Mike, but you know, I waited tables in college and worked at ice cream stores and donut shops and everything, right? So I worked in service for a lot of years in high school and college. And sometimes that old adage was really frustrating because sometimes customers are themselves jerks, and so you want to be a jerk back. But in most establishments, you're not really allowed to because you're protecting the dollar. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. At the end of the day, they're trying to protect the dollar, which is why, of course, like you said, the Mets come out and they're very much not on the side of the player here because they're saying, hey, whoa, 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 we really appreciate and value our fans because, by the way, without the fans, then there is no product and then there's a whole lot less dollars. So you got to protect the dollars and the fan experience. It doesn't excuse the fan behavior. I still understand how frustrating it must be for a player in that situation. But at some point you have to realize, hey, I'm a professional and this is part of my job is to kind of deal with, again, not jerks, but these people displaying the behavior of jerks.
Yeah, Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Amber, I played in a football game at Notre Dame my freshman year where we lost to Syracuse on senior day and got pelted with snowballs by our own student section here. So I know something about wanting to go and fight people in the crowd. Like, That is not the issue here. The issue is you're playing a losing hand. Like, I can't understand or identify the mentality that goes into booing your team at home. I'm just not made of the same stuff. I made my feelings known about what I think of people that boo their home team here. What's wrong with you? I can't put myself in that mindset. But I can also say there's no win for these guys going about this in the way that they are right now. Because I think this is posturing. Like Steve Cohen coming out in defense of the fans, the guy already showed you with his tweets that he's basically one step. He's a rich message board poster. Like, this is a guy that operates his social, his public social handle, the way someone on a team's college message board would, and fans love it. We know which side of the fence he's on here. He doesn't give a bleep what these players have to say about any of that stuff. I'm going to skew as pro-player as anybody. It's my general disposition. But in this one, it's just, man, listen, what's going to come of this here? As effective as I think a thumbs down is, I think we underrate the thumbs down and just calling someone a straight-up loser. How effective and satisfying both of those things can be, at the end of the day, this isn't going to do anything. Now, I don't think it's going to drive fans away either. I think their play is going to do the job on that. But really, if you're a Mets fan, you've already stuck around through worse, so you're going to be here. This is just posturing by the people involved in high-profile positions, and it's going to mount to a whole bunch of diddly.
Yeah, I mean, a thumbs down. It's not like they did something obscene, you know? They're not out there doing some sort of obscene gesture that's highly offensive to the crowd. So it's not a big deal that they did a thumbs down, but like you said, it's a losing proposition at the end of the day. Like, it doesn't accomplish anything because of that relationship with the fans and the situation that the fans are in for paying to be there and you're being paid to be there. You're not going to win this battle. Your organization is going to shut down this behavior, even if it's not particularly obscene in any way, because they're going to try to appease the fan. And it's funny what you said about Cohen there, because obviously, typically, it would be about the money. But in the case of this owner of the New York Mets, you're talking about a guy who's actually on the side of the fans also, because, like, he just is one.
Yeah, it's who he is at his core. So there'll be plenty more booing and thumbs down in the world of the Mets. Coming up next, though, we want to get to the reason that you will be cheering in a theater somewhere this Friday here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I'm jacked up for this one. You guys all know by now, I'm a huge fan of everything the Marvel Cinematic Universe puts out, which means that this Friday, September 3rd, when we get the premiere of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, your boy is going to be front and center on this thing, getting ready to go. And we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline right now to talk to the star of that movie. Simu Liu joins us here. Again, he is going to be the lead in this upcoming movie. And Simo, I gotta ask you, I was looking at your Twitter, which, by the way, incredible follow. You're extremely online, but I saw the How It Started versus How It's Going meeting. Did you really tweet your way into this movie, shooting your shot with Marvel?
Look, short answer, yes, I did. However, I do have to say, you know, I tweeted to like 24 followers at the time. It really did not go anywhere. I certainly, did not have Kevin read that tweet at all. But what it did do is it gave me a sight. It gave me a sight on the horizon to say, I'm going to go that way and see what happens. And sure enough, in May of 2019, I ended up getting invited to audition for the movie and got invited again and then got a screen test. And then 2 days after that was cast.
Shooting your shot on Twitter when it goes right, you're a testament to that. So, Simu, this is Marvel's first Asian-led film. Why was it so important for you to get involved in this project?
I mean, I never had that kind of superhero representation growing up. You know, I think it could mean the world to kids. I think superheroes represent this kind of hope and infinite possibility. And I just think back to watching the Tokyo Games earlier on this year, seeing the athletes win gold and silver and bronze for their country, and how proud people were when their country, you know, ended up on the podium. I mean, I just feel like every community deserves to feel that kind of pride and deserves to feel represented in that way. And I think our movie is a very important step in that direction.
Have you heard from people in that community already through this process here? What's it been like in the lead up for you to the premiere?
I mean, it's been a groundswell of support. We had an amazing premiere a couple weeks ago over on Hollywood Boulevard, and just a tremendous outpouring from the Asian and Asian American community. I mean, it really does feel like everyone is behind this movie, and I'm really excited to share it with the world.
You keep mentioning, of course, the importance of representation for the Asian community in Hollywood, and you have been a fierce advocate using your platform in a variety of ways to address anti-Asian racism. You've done it through writing and production and obviously through film as well. Why has that been an important feat for you to take on?
Well, I think that so many of us that were raised in immigrant households were brought up to kind of keep our head down, not rock the boat too much, and just kind of go on our merry way. And I think we've started to reach the limits of that. I think, you know, looking out and seeing our elders, you know, beaten, harassed, and in some cases murdered, just really made me want to use my voice and, you know, made me realize that it's not enough just to exist in a country. It's not enough just to survive. We have to thrive. We have to really feel like we're, you know, that we belong.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Simu Liu, the star of Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, that's going to be coming out in theaters Friday, September 3rd. Now, you are like the rest of us, I'm sure, have grown up seeing the Marvel movies, seeing the MCU all over the place. So from what you saw on the outside to what you've experienced now on the inside, what's been the most surprising part of this process of becoming one of the new superheroes that's going to dominate this country?
It's a lot of tennis balls, Mike. It's a lot of tennis balls. It's a lot of going to work in a blue screen studio, trying to look at tennis balls and pretend like they're, you know, something or some sort of dragon creature or whatever that the VFX supervisor tries to tell you. I mean, it's a lot of using your imagination, and it's a lot of tough hours. But, you know, we're really, really excited, and we're proud of the work. And I definitely personally bruised and bled and sweat quite a bit. So it's good to be here on the other side, ready to actually show the movie.
I'm not asking for any spoiler alerts. I know you're involved in a bunch of projects right now, but are those tennis balls going to be a permanent part of your life here? Can we expect that you are going to be a permanent part of the Marvel Universe?
You know, those decisions are beyond my pay grade, but, you know, as they say in the athlete world, whenever my number is called, I'm going to be ready.
Now, speaking of your number being called here, I'm always interested in this. Were you jacked before, or did they help get you jacked for this movie?
I think I'd always been in pretty good physical shape. I always loved playing sports. I'm a big hooper myself. You know, played JV volleyball in college. But, you know, when I got the call, I knew that I was still going to have to put in more work because, you know, I would look at pictures of Chris Hemsworth and I'd be like, that dude is no joke. And I can't look like a total schlub standing next to Thor. So, I mean, yeah, we got to it. And it was a lot. It was a long kind of fitness transformation process where I had to build muscle, but I also had to build speed and explosiveness, you know, doing all of the martial arts sequences. So it was like a bit of a juggling act, but I think we got there in the end.
So you keep mentioning the athlete world, so I have to ask you a self-serving question here, but you immigrated from China to Canada at the age of 5. I understand you're a big Toronto Raptors fan. Are you sad that Kyle Lowry is now on my Miami Heat?
I'm extremely sad, and you know, I'm also extremely excited for you, Amber, to experience having him. He's been our floor general, our leader, our star for so, so long. And has carried his position with such poise. We're just beyond grateful to have had him for the amount of time that we had. And it really is sad to see him go. It feels like the end of an era. And really, dare I say, best Raptor of all time.
Ooh, all right, best Raptor of all time. Let's stick with
the... I got to come here with the hot takes, Mike. This is ESPN. I'm here with you. I gotta say controversial things.
Listen, I appreciate that. In that interest of keeping the sports tie here, as a Canadian of note now, has Drake reached out to you yet about trying to glean on to some of your success? Because that feels like the next step in Canadian success.
I'm waiting for that call, and I would be happy to answer that call and glean off of his success. I know that he's got a wonderful OVO basketball court. I'm always looking for places to run with my boys. So, you know, if he's ever down, I would be willing to take that call any day.
There you go. I mean, Simu Liu, Marvel movie star Drake, wants to play basketball at your house. We're going to use the platform here as best we can to try and help make this happen. Now,
you could shoot your shot on Twitter because that works well for you. So.
That is true.
I can predict the future. Yeah, let's do it.
It is a very, very lucrative path for you here. Last one for me, and we're very excited. I can't stress enough again. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings in theaters Friday, September 3rd. I mentioned extremely online, fantastic follow on Twitter, at Simu Liu. How long have you been a closet Bachelor fan here? Because it seems like reading your tweets, you were ashamed to admit you were watching the Bachelorette finale like me and so many others.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I feel like I'm getting exposed out here, man. Look, I will say this. I did not voluntarily watch my first or second or third or fourth episode of The Bachelor / Bachelorette. But then I realized that there was like a whole shared universe and they would all kind of connect in Bachelor in Paradise. And in a lot of ways, it reminds me of the MCU, right? Because there's like all of these different seasons and characters and they all kind of intertwine and they have interwoven storylines. So, yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for the Bachelor-level lore. Oh. I'm here for Sad Greg. I'm here for the Canadian man, Blake. You know, it was a wild season, man.
Oh. You have no idea how much joy you've brought me likening two of my great loves together, the Bachelor universe and the MCU, more parallels than people would expect here. And I got to say, Simu Liu, you fit into it all beautifully. Congratulations on all the success. We're really looking forward to the premiere of Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, this Friday, September 3rd. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll try and get you back here again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Amber.
Awesome stuff there. I am going to try.
Did you just become best friends?
I think we've got to. I'll have his people give him my number off air if he wants to become best friends with a newly minted NFL insider. That is his decision. Coming up next, as I try and get this glow off me here, we'll talk about rookie quarterbacks or something. We'll do it after this word from Indeed. I wish we could keep the MCU's music up. The people Indeed deserve that, but got to pay the bills here, because running your own business requires just that, a lot of running around, from bookkeeping to client meetings. You run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. Back after this, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Our thanks to Simu Liu, star of Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, next in the series of highly successful Marvel movies. You can check that out Friday. You can check out the interview on the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast. We'll have that up on the web soon enough here. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson hanging out, and it's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because boy oh boy, Amber, with the preseason over, I'm kind of thrilled because we're going to get some concrete answers about a lot of these players, especially about a lot of these young quarterbacks. But the more and more I've looked out into this, Amber, and we've had this conversation about Mac Jones versus Cam Newton, about Trey Lance versus Jimmy Garoppolo out in San Francisco, we've talked about so many of these different guys that I'm starting to wonder if we need to all remind ourselves that, like, these battles are great, but I still feel like the when for a lot of these young rookies, when they get on the field, matters a lot less than the who is at the helm, because whether it has been questionable decisions by Urban Meyer or just the general side-eye people are right now looking at Matt Nagy in Chicago with, there's still no guarantee that the where these guys end up won't be the thing that ruins their career, like we've seen happen to so many other guys at this point.
What are we going to talk about if we're not talking about quarterback controversies? Because that has absolutely dominated this preseason in terms of the conversation. But you're right. It's fair to assess, now that we have some of these answers about who is going to be under center for some of these teams starting week one. Not all of these teams. We still spent the first segment of this show talking about a couple quarterback controversies that are outlasting the 3 preseason games. But for most of these teams now, we do have that answer. And so then the question becomes, are they in the best position? And we can have this conversation, though, any year. This is not exclusive to this year, and this certainly isn't exclusive to the Jags or the Bengals or any of these organizations where we've had these conversations in recent years. It's any team that ends up drafting at the top of the draft. I mean, whether they take a quarterback or not, but if you're the number one pick, you're not going to go to a good team. That can't be the expectation. And it is a weird system that we have in the NFL where, yeah, your reward for being amazing in college is given more money on the rookie scale, but also now you go to a worse situation than if you were maybe not quite so good and maybe you're ending up in a better situation. And you tell me, Mike, because obviously you played for many years. So like when you're coming out of college, would you rather go to the Jacksonville Jaguars as the number one pick? You get the fame, you get the ego, you get the reward in that regard. Plus, you get the money on the rookie scale. Or would you rather be, you know, Kyle Trask backing up Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? So you're getting the time to learn. You have no pressure on you. And you're with a really darn good team. If, in fact, something ever did actually happen to Tom Brady and you got your situation. Because I think you could argue that absent the money, maybe the second situation ain't so bad.
Well, the second situation is, to me, about factoring in the talent level of both, right? Because I look at it and go, and if I'm going to make that a binary and not a range, I'm still taking the Trevor Lawrence situation 10 out of 10 times because I don't believe Kyle Trask is ultimately going to be talented enough to have longevity at this level. But for Trevor Lawrence, I think it's also interesting to skew him or compare him with the number two pick in the draft, right? Because you're wretched. So many of this. You're going to bad teams, but in some instances, you can say, all right, well, maybe you were bad for very specific reasons. You know, look at the Colts and Peyton Manning being injured. Look at the 49ers who picked at three this year because they moved up after a season in which they struggled. Or even the Jets, where Robert Saleh is a coach that a lot of people are genuinely excited about. The Jets seem to have a semi-competent preseason, whereas you look at, all right, well, the Chicago Bears have struggled offensively to be as creative as we originally thought Matt Nagy would. Urban Meyer seems to have made a bunch of questionable little decisions so far. Those specific situations amongst bad teams aren't even all created equal, and those are the things that worry me for those two guys in particular.
I think the concern, because for me, I'm not concerned about, let's take last year, for example. Like, I'm not concerned about the Justin Herberts of the world who go and ball out and show off, and then the record doesn't necessarily reflect that. He's still, obviously, the season he had, we still all completely bought in on Justin Herbert. So in that situation, when you're a top six pick, it worked out pretty darn well for him on a team that, yeah, wasn't very good record-wise, but the season still ends up being good in terms of him. But then, of course, you have a Joe Burrow on the flip side who gets drafted, obviously, much higher, much more money, but then, of course, injured because terrible O-line in front of you. And I think that's really the concern.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Plenty of concerns for some newly minted rookies. But coming up next, let's talk about the name that might be joining them and the conference that's been the center of college football conversation next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.